Well, good morning. We have some that are visiting with us. We're very thankful that you are here. I'd like to start off by thanking the congregation. 16 years ago this week is when I began at West Mason. And I know for some it's been a lot longer, it seems, for some shorter. But I appreciate everyone's support and love for us. This is my favorite group out of the two. Don't ask the first group. They may or may not have heard the same, but just know I very much appreciate it. And those of you that are home, just thank you so much for the support that you've given me, and more importantly, the work that you are doing here for God, and definitely appreciate that. You know, this morning I want to talk about trust. Trusting God in a hurting world. And for you young people, I feel like I have to tell you, those are newspapers that are up there, in case you don't know what that is. But in a hurting world is not an issue. The world has always been hurting. There are times, certainly, where it impacts me more than other times, and this is definitely one of those times, where we're going through something that's unimaginable. I can't believe that in my 16 years at West Mason, it includes a pandemic. It's amazing the things that have occurred in our lifetime. But the reality is, when people leave God, it's always going to be a hurting world. The question for you and I is the trusting part. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Do we really trust him? In the movie Aladdin, and as you know, I get most of my wisdom from cartoons. But in the movie Aladdin, right off the bat, when Aladdin meets Jasmine, and they begin to get chased, he asks a very, very simple question. Do you trust me? And she says yes. The yes didn't show that she trusted him. It was the jump that showed that she trusted him. There's a lot of people in this world, and perhaps even in this room, that are willing to say, yes, I trust you, God, but I'm not willing to jump. And it's understanding how we get to that point, that we're willing to do what he asks us to do, for willing to truly trust him for all that he has done for us. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 11 through 13, the Apostle Paul writing, one of the things he says, especially in 1 Timothy, but he says it here obviously in 2 Timothy, he'll say is this is a trustworthy statement. It's a trustworthy statement. It's a trustworthy statement. This is something, as my dad would say, you got to mark this down. It's the same thing. Trustworthy statement. This is going to happen. He says, it's a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Do we trust him? If we trust him, there are three things in this these verses that I would like to point out to you. If we die with him, we will also live with him. Certainly we understand that from a baptism standpoint. If we die with him, if we become a follower of his, the living with him certainly is from a perspective of going forward, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But what about the idea of living for him now? What about now? The desire that we should have to want to trust him, to want to follow him every single day of our lives. I'd like to look at a couple of the Psalms of Ascent in the Old Testament. So if you turn to Psalm 125, Psalm of Ascent were psalms that they would have read or quoted as they were going to Jerusalem for the Passover. And certainly there's great importance to them, and there's great application that we can make for ourselves. In Psalm 125, it says, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As a mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of the wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so that the righteous will not put forth their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Now look at the first two verses. Those who trust in the Lord are like a mountain, he says. A mountain that cannot be moved, and it's going to abide forever. Do you have that kind of trust in God? That I cannot be moved. See, that's a step forward from saying, yes, I trust him. Do I have a trust in him that when I say that I'm going to trust him, I cannot be moved? Why? Because of the second verse. If you've never been to Jerusalem, you've never seen a picture of Jerusalem, I assure you that Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. And it says, as it says here, that as the mountains surround Jerusalem, God is going to surround his people. He surrounds his people. He is going to take care of his people from now and always. Do you trust him? Over in Psalm 131, again, this one of David, a psalm of ascent. He says, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters, or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. I love that David compares our trust in him as a child. First of all, though, verse 1. Nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. We all can't say that. That would be great if we could, and we should. But we spend a lot of times on things that are greater than us and certainly don't involve us. But it's amazing in verse 2. Those of you that have had children, had a baby, for give them a bottle, or her a bottle, when they're full, I mean, there is nothing like it. They flop back, they're good to go. And that's what we're compared to. Is that the kind of trust you have in God? Is that the relationship that we have with him? Do you trust him? It would have been a short movie if Jasmine wouldn't have jumped. And the reality is for us, there's a lot of people that say that they trust and do not. And I'm talking about God. My fear as we go forward with this is that there are people that trust man more than they do God, or trust self more than they do God. What a dangerous thing to be in. There is nothing greater than the opportunity that we have to live for him, to put our trust in him. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through difficulties. This is David writing these. There's no question that we're going to go through difficulties. The question is whether or not we're going to focus on the difficulties or we're going to focus on the God as we go through those difficulties. Are we living for him? Are we enduring? 1 month ago, I brought up the word endurance. How you guys doing? 1 month. Next week, this group meets at 9. How you doing now? Endurance. Endurance. But he says if you endure, you're going to reign with him. Now, the interesting thing from our perspective is understanding what endurance is. And what he's talking about endurance. Over in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, I just want to use a couple of verses that show when he uses the term endurance. And the sad reality of sometimes when we talk about endurance. In Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 32, he says, "But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were treated or so treated. For you showed sympathy to prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizures of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." You hear what they went through? You're made public spectacles. They took your property away from you. They did all sorts of persecution and tribulation to you. You need to endure. Why? Because the reward is worth it. Do you have confidence in that? Do you trust that? Are we willing to trust him that much? That I am willing to go through whatever I go through in this life, and some of us are going to go through great difficulties, more than others. Do we have that kind of trust in him? That no matter what comes our way, he is going to be with us. Over in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 11 through 15, is the Beatitudes. And then he goes and starts talking about being a salt of the earth and the light of the world. And the idea that we're just different. We are to be different people, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let your light shine. Be the salt of the earth. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Why? Because the reward is worth it. How often do we look at it that way? You know, it's one thing when we sit and talk about when we're not going through difficulties. I'm going to endure forever. I'm going to endure. What about now when you're going through difficulties? I suggest to you that that's not the case all the time. We struggle with this. We've given enough time to whatever difficulty we're in, so we've decided it's over. It's over. That's not endurance. And those are the things that we go through. There are some who are going through difficulties, and what do they want to do? We all use the phrase, they want to cut bait and run. Just want to get out. That's not endurance. Do we understand that the things that we go through in this life are worth the opportunity that we have to be his child? And certainly worth the eternal reward of being with him for eternity. You know, over in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, Peter says it this way. He's going to use Jesus as the great example, obviously, going forward. But in verse 20, I just want to read verse 20 for now. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. What difference does it make if you've done something wrong and you have to suffer for it and you do it with patience? You are wrong. What's the big deal about that? But what about when you've done everything right and you still have to suffer? Are we willing to endure it with patience? Brethren, many people are not willing to endure the first part with patience. And you are wrong. Much less the second part. And as God's people, we are called to be the second part. The light of the world. The salt of the earth. We are to be different when other people would act as you normally would. Which we'll talk about in just a minute. We are to endure because being with God is worth it. Not only here, but for eternity. You see, the interesting thing going back to 2 Timothy is the fact that it's not about whether or not God's going to keep his part. He tells us if we're faithless, he's going to be faithful. It's not up to that part. God's going to keep his end. The question is whether or not you trust that. Are you going to do your part? I love that Paul uses the word that we'll always talk about is the word if. If. Are you willing to do what you need to do? Because God's going to be faithful whether you do it or not. And the interesting thing going forward as we talk about ourselves is what kind of trust do we have? In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5, there is a point that is so powerful to me, and I pray that it is to you, at least something that you consider this morning. Beginning in verse 1, he says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And stop there for just a minute. Are we in the last days? Yeah. So is Paul. We're in the last days. But that's not because of what's going on in 2020. And there's some weird things going on in 2020. There's a plague of locusts somewhere that's going on. But in the last days, men are going to be lovers of self. As I'll say, it's my favorite subject, me. Right? People are going to want to be selfish. That seems to be going on. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. Does that happen, parents? That's not new. But I want you to notice verse 5. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. This is one of those step on toes moments for myself and for you. There are people that will profess to be godly that do not believe in the power of God. There are people who profess to be godly and are nothing more than being lovers of self. He goes on and says, avoid such men as these. When we make application to ourselves, we need to understand the power of our God. And I am so afraid so often we get caught up in the idea that, well, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in God. I have a form of godliness. But I don't think he has the power to get me through the things that I'm going through. You better read this verse again. We've got to understand what he is willing and desiring and wanting to do. When Ben was talking about the idea for you and I, that he died for all. One of the trustworthy statements in 1 Timothy is that. He died for all. It's a trustworthy statement. He died for those who didn't love him, don't love him, don't even believe in him. And he died for you and I just to give us the choice. Just the choice. His love is faithful. He is absolutely trusting or trustworthy. We need to be trusting. Over in Psalm 56, David again is writing in the midst of an extremely difficult situation. And so there's an important point of this. It's not a question of whether or not you're going to be afraid. It's not a question of not if you're going to cry. There are certainly times where there's going to be difficulties. There's no doubt about that. It's the next step that we're talking about. What's the next thing we do? In Psalm 56, David is in a very difficult situation. And I want you to understand and listen to how he describes what the enemy was doing and what God's going to do. It says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps, and they have waited to take my life. Because of the wickedness, cast them forth. In anger, put down the peoples, O God. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. What can mere man do to me? Well, he just told us in this psalm what they can do. Every single thing that they do is evil, thinking evil of me. They want to kill me, he talks about. They want to trample me all day long. They distort my words. Their thoughts are evil. That's pretty rough. And if it wasn't for the fact that he put his trust in God, that would absolutely beat you down. And it's not that David wasn't sad or upset. He certainly was. Or afraid. It's not that David, it doesn't say that he cried and he cried and he cried and God put his tears in the bottle. He absolutely did, but it was that God knew he was crying. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. When I go through difficulties, I'm going to look to you. It is said David wrote this when he was seized by the Philistines. You imagine the difficulty with that. Talking about a time where he is surrounded by the enemy, the struggles that would be going on, and he says, I am going to turn to you. What can man do to me? God is for me. That kind of trust is what we are striving to have. It's not that you're not going to go through difficulties. We all are. We do. What's the next step? Where do we turn? Are we able to say what David says? Let me give you an example of this. I put up there, in God I trust, with a question mark. What does our dollars say in this great country? And it is great. In God we trust, we put on our money. You know the irony of that? More people have trust in that paper that it's written on than the statement that is made. That's a problem. And the struggle is when it's people in the church that do. Do we have a trust in the Almighty God that no matter what we go through, I am going to keep my eyes on him and my focus on him, knowing that he is going to be faithful and it is trustworthy that he's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do? Are we willing to entrust our souls to God? In 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, Peter says this in verse 19, therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Those of you that are going through difficulty, I encourage you to underline that verse. Those who suffer according to the will of God, you're going to go through things. Are you willing to entrust your soul to the faithful Creator in doing what is right? Do you trust him? I'd like to leave you with this verse. In Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I'm going to tell you, the struggle is not whether or not you trust in the Lord for many people. People will say that all the time. It's the next part. With all your heart. Do you trust him with all your heart? Not with some of it. Not simply in words. Do you trust him with your whole heart? If you do, he is faithful as what he says is going to happen. You'll be with him for eternity. But he's also trustworthy from the standpoint of what else he said. Going back to 2 Timothy. He says, if you deny me, I'm going to deny you. And that is a trustworthy statement. Again, the question is not whether or not if somebody comes up to you or if I come up to you saying, do you believe in God? You would say yes. It's the actions. Do you deny God in your actions? There's always going to be times where people are going to try to tell us that we need to leave our religion at home. As a child of God, wherever I am is where that is.
Come on, brother.
That's the struggle. For a lot of people, do you trust him? Are you willing to stand for him no matter what you're going up against? If you're not a child of his, you have the opportunity now. It is a trustworthy statement for me to tell you that he loves you. Do you believe that? Do you understand that he came, sent his son, and come to die for your sins? Are you willing to repent of them? A lot of people in this world just want a savior. He's going to be your Lord. Are you willing to confess him before men? To let your light shine. That he is your Lord. That he indeed is the Son of God. Be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, as we talked about earlier. To die. And to live with him. If you haven't done that, now's the time. Another trustworthy statement that we need to understand is that you are not promised anything other than right now. We've got to make sure that we are right with him. For those of us that have obeyed the gospel and haven't been living the life that we should, you have the opportunity now to get your life right with him. Do you fully trust him with your whole heart? Continue to pray for one another. Continue to reach out to those that you don't see that are here, that are worshiping at home or worshiping in the first service. Remember one another. And let us all continue to grow as the congregation here. That we will let our light shine and that other people will be able to see him. If you need anything this morning, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.